Hey, and welcome to Burnt Out to Badass. I am so excited that you joined me here today. I'm your host, Dr. Erin Wiseman, and I am telling the stories of burnout to normalize the conversation that there is nothing wrong with you, you are not broken, and that burnout can just be part of your journey and not the whole definition of your life. Today, I am joined by one of my bomb-ass, amazing physician colleagues, Dr. Victoria Ebiana. She is a neuro-oncologist who does pharmaceuticals. And let me tell you, she has got a fabulous story. I got to know her intimately as one of my coaching clients, and she so graciously came on here to tell the world about her story. Okay, well, let's get into it with the fabulous Dr. Ebiana. Welcome to Burned Out to Badass, my friend, my fellow physician colleague, Dr. Victoria Ebiana. It's so great to have you here with me today.
Thank you, Erin. I'm really excited to be here. A little nervous, but also very excited.
Yeah. So tell the people out in podcasting world a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do.
I am a physician. I'm a neuro-oncologist by training. But right now, I'm actually working in the pharmaceutical industry as a clinical research medical director, which is basically the research director on the clinical development side of the drug industry.
Yeah, I love that so much about you. Like my nerdy brain, like just goes crazy, even though I know it's probably just a lot of report writing. But I think about like, I'm like, oh my God, like she's making these amazing drugs that are going to just kill cancer.
That is the goal. That is definitely the goal. Whether or not we get there, that's kind of what remains to be seen, but that's what makes my job exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you know, Burnt Out to Badass is a podcast that is all about telling the transformational story of going from being burnt out to like finding your inner badass self. So give us a little sneak peek on when you had burnout and what it felt like to you.
Ah, yes. I was feeling really very burnt out at my last job, which was basically the same sort of thing in a different company. And really what that looked like for me was working really long, crazy hours, and yet somehow always not feeling like I did enough or that I was good enough for the job that I had. And even more importantly, it looked like me not having time or mental energy for my husband or really even for myself, really, at the end of the day. And that's really what prompted me to actually seek career counseling and see what I could do to stop feeling like this because I knew it was not tenable.
Yeah, because you came straight out of training knowing like, hey, I do not want to hustle in the hospital. That is not my jam. And so you were already kind of looking at industry and this was your first job out of fellowship, right?
Yes, exactly. That's correct. I just finished fellowship and started my first job in industry. You know, I was really excited at first because that was what I was planning on doing all along. But, you know, as the months kind of went by, I saw myself getting more sucked into this cycle of overworking and perfectionism and a little bit of a toxic environment at my job too, but just kind of a mix of all of those things is just heading me straight down the burnout route, which honestly, I was a little bit surprised by. I was not expecting to be burned out in an industry job, but it was happening.
Absolutely. And so that's how it felt like and what was going on like internally. What do you think like externally, like with friends and family, did they have any idea on what it really felt like inside?
You know, I think I do a really good job of trying to present good appearances no matter how I'm feeling on the inside. So probably, you know, my friends who don't see me very much or even my family that lives in a different state, they probably didn't know. They were just like, oh, she is working a lot, but that's fine. I think it was really my husband who I live with and who sees me every day was kind of, you know, seeing me just hating everything, waking up early, staying up late, not really having time to do any of the things that I enjoyed or talk to him about anything that wasn't work. That's what he saw. And that's when he brought it to my attention, although I already knew, you know, this is probably not what you wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there ever a point where you got to like a dark night of the soul where it was just like rock bottom?
Yeah, there was, you know, it was really, I mean, this is kind of personal, but I feel totally fine sharing it here. You know, we were just having some difficulties in our marriage, and it was really just because I was so absent, just emotionally and mentally. I was just always in the office, even if I wasn't there. And I was in the office a lot and just like had nothing left to give to any other area of my life. And my husband was kind of like, hey, I exist, you know, and we were getting in fights about it. And it was bad. It was scary. And that was really like the wake up call for me, because I was thinking to myself, there is no job on this earth that's more important to me than my marriage. So I've got to get this figured out.
Yeah. Super powerful. I remember when Mr. Wiseman was like, I don't know who this bitch is, but I want my wife back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Those husbands can help us out so much, even though we want to strangle them in those moments.
A sanctifying experience.
So what was the journey like moving forward from there?
I mean, it was scary. It was hard, but you know, obviously I've been working with you, so you know a lot of what that was like, but I was kind of just, you know, searching on the internet for what to do. How do I stop feeling like this? And you know, that's really when I came across your website and your, you know, book and everything. And I was kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. This sounds like me. Maybe, you know, Erin can help me, because she's a woman, she's a physician, she's experienced this before. And, you know, I think doctors have a little bit of, you know, some unique in a way challenges. So I was really feeling like, you know, this might be the way to go. And, you know, over the past, what has it been, like 2 years almost that we've been working together, it's just felt like a lot of seemingly small mind shifts and changes in my thinking that build up really quickly over time. Actually, looking back, I'm shocked and pleasantly surprised to see how much things can change in a short period of time with seemingly very small steps. You know, it's not what I would have thought or what I would have done if I had to just do it by myself. But
yeah, absolutely. So we started full disclosure, everybody, we started coaching together in 2019, pre-pandemic and everything. And what was some of the most like surprising things that came up during our coaching?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the stuff that you said to me, especially as we were first starting to work out, was really surprising to me. It was just things I'd never heard before in the context of being a physician. And, you know, I really think it's also important to say, like, in the context of being a woman, I think that we are used to taking care of other people and doing everything we can for other people and our patients. But when we first started working together, some of the things that I heard you say were, you know, it's okay and necessary to prioritize yourself and, you know, have boundaries and not be the person who says yes and does everything all the time, or else it's going to fall apart. So that to me was completely mind blowing. It was like, wait, really? I can do that? That's, huh, okay.
Absolutely. And I can think back to just recently when we were specifically talking about perfectionism and how that it really is a superpower unless we let it overrun us and become our kryptonite. Share a little bit with the listeners, because I know that you have really identified with breaking down between adaptive perfectionism and maladaptive perfectionism.
Yeah, 100%. Perfectionism is my best frenemy, I feel like. You know, that side of me has gotten me to where I am. And I feel, you know, very proud of the things that I've been able to accomplish, but they came at a price that I've been sort of paying over time, and the interest is accumulating. And I'm like, wait a minute, no, I can't, this is too much. So, you know, it's been a real struggle to try and shift my thinking from, you know, the black and white, it's all the way perfect or it's garbage. I have to do everything all the time, or I might as well not do anything. You know, I can't accept feedback that's not positive because that means that I failed and I'm worthless. So that's sort of where I was coming from. And I'm working very hard and still working and struggling with trying to take that black and white, all or nothing thinking to a more gray middle path that allows me some breathing room and allows me to tap into the powers that have gotten me to where I am without breaking down along the way.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Because that's where we really find sustainability is in the gray. And that's where we give ourselves, like you said, room to grow and breathe and just like be. Because then we don't have to toe the line. Like we can expand in that gray zone.
Exactly. Exactly. And it definitely feels scary. I mean, I'm 34 years old. So I've been doing this for probably 30 years, as long as I can remember. So, you know, it's unfamiliar and that is definitely scary, but I think it's okay to be scared and just acknowledge that and continue moving forward without letting the fear stop you and keep you stuck.
Yeah. So great. Let's talk about too, from starting coaching together in 2019, where did your journey lead you from there?
When I started coaching, I was working at a particular company on the East Coast. Like I said, I was totally miserable and had no life, and it was not acceptable. Once we started coaching, you know, I started recognizing my worth outside of work, and that allowed me to expand and use my network and actually find a new opportunity all the way across the country in California, where I did my training and where I absolutely love because it's 70 and sunny today in February. And, you know, that led me to this opportunity. And, you know, I wasn't even looking for it. It just kind of opened it. It appeared in my life once I kind of opened up my line of sight from just where I was to other things.
And you made the jump. You did it. And I remember having conversations right before you got on the plane to go to the interview. And then afterwards, when you were like, Erin, I think this might be it.
Yeah, I did. It was scary. It was surprising. I mean, it was something that I wanted, but I didn't think that I could get, at least not anytime soon. So it was just, you know, a real blessing and like a huge surprise that it just kind of fell in my lap once I got rid of some of the less helpful ways of thinking and constraining my own self.
Yeah. And then you guys made a transcontinental move in the middle of COVID.
Yeah, we did. We got a lot of our stuff shipped and then we took just our core possessions and our three animals in a pickup truck and drove across the country in a pandemic, which looking back was a little bit crazy, but you just do what you have to do, I guess.
And yeah, settled in, started the new job. I mean, we could have a whole nother episode about what it's like to like start a new job when everybody is in lockdown. But yeah, and you did it. And I know one thing that you've told me is it's not perfect, but it's better. And I think that's the message that I want people to get out there is all you have to do is take the next best step forward.
Yep, 100%. That's exactly right. It isn't perfect, but it is so much better. And honestly, each step that I've taken, you know, in my life over the past few years has been a little bit better than the last one. So when you look back 4 or 5 years, you're like, whoa, this is so much better, you know?
Yeah, but it all starts, you got to start with that like single step, either a single conversation or like a single small decision to be like, yeah, actually I can.
Exactly. 100%. You know, I feel like I'm sort of reminded of that one quote, which I'll probably butcher, but I think it's by Martin Luther King, where he says, if you can't fly, then you run. If you can't run, then you walk. If you can't walk, then you crawl, like something like that. Like, I feel like I've been crawling, but you know, looking back, I've made some progress. So I'm really thankful for that.
And what do you want listeners to really hear in their hearts after they've listened to your story and then go out and do?
What I really want everyone to know is that there are so many possibilities that are open to you, no matter how stuck you feel in your current situation, even if you feel like you have all these reasons why you can't leave or make a huge change, even small changes can add up to things that will open up other possibilities and make you feel a little more free.
Well, Dr. Victoria Ebiana, you are amazing. And the badass in me honors the badass in you.
Thank you, Erin.
Thank you so much, Dr. Victoria Ebiana, for coming on the podcast, for sharing your heart and soul, and you know what? For doing the damn hard work of recovering from burnout. I am so freaking proud of you. And if you're sitting back out there in podcasting world going, well, she's a doctor, so that made it easier. No, that's total bullshit. Everybody's journey is hard, but it doesn't have to stay hard. You can be in community and you can recover from your own burnout in your own specialized way. And I want to invite you, come on over. Stop going it alone. Head over to burntouttobadass.com. Find out all about the free masterclasses that we do, our Slack community, and all the amazing ways that you can find the support you need and not just survive and get through burnout, but actually come out the other side thriving. So remember, the badass in me honors the badass in you.